along with show two. Are you ready in the van? Van? Okay. Van standing by to press play and record. Sing what you do when you're ready. Go.
We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Tune in to The Real Housewives of Cheshire. Nowadays, Manchester is probably best known as the undisputed capital of the North, with its connections to the finance and media industry. But any great city, however, is always an undercard for people who fail to provide a struggle to make ends meet, perhaps in most cases, resorting to a life of criminality. In traditional Indian society, such people are referred to as untouchables. In China, they're known as Hoku, and in Manchester, the term used is Liverpool.
Who are ya?
Manchester's most famous musical export is the Smiths. Legend has it the band took its name from a W. H. Smiths in Salford. Coincidentally, the shop next door also helped define the Smiths musical style. That particular branch of Wimpy is now sad. The Football League was founded in Manchester in 1888. Back then, trades and professions formed teams and would play each other on a weekly basis. Of course, even then, internal squabbles would surface. In 1890, fans of Manchester Glassworkers United were unhappy with the way the owners were running their club and started the first ever Glaziers Must Go campaign. Manchester United is arguably the most famous football club in the world. And there's hardly a country on the planet you can visit where you won't see some eager young lad in a famous United shirt running around, skillfully darting through the opposition, brushing past onlookers before deftly disappearing into the crowd with your wallet and passport. Linguists claim 200 languages are spoken in Manchester. 201 if you include the one used by Sean Ryder. Manchester University is the only university in the world to offer a degree in Egyptian mummy studies. Although, strictly speaking, as we're in the north, it should be Egyptian man studies. We'll see that one later on. The Manchester Viaduct, built in 1842, is one of the largest brick structures in the country. It's been estimated that over 11 million bricks were used in its construction, and if they're all laid out end to end, it would be a colossal waste of everybody's time. Husband and wife research physicists Ernest and Mary Rutherford lived and worked in Manchester until, in 1919, Rutherford finally split the atom. He said after dividing the books, duvet and record collection, they really lost their minds. Accident statistics reveal that Salford is one of the most dangerous places in the UK to live, with a higher than average chance of being caught up in a gas explosion, pub fire, tram crash, mass murder. Experts advise the safest time to visit is when they're not filming Coronation Street. The most famous famous export of nearby Eccles is the Eccles cake, a small round pastry filled with currants, also known as fly cake, squash fry, or fly pie. Such nicknames increased not only the cake's popularity, but also its shelf life. It was sitting uncovered in a window all summer long without anyone noticing the difference. Salford's Tudor Manor House, Audsall Hall, dates back more than 750 years and is said to be one of the most haunted houses in Britain. Last week, one terrified visitor reported seeing the hall's famous White Lady, though this was later revealed to be Mary Beard on location. Jubilee House in Salford is home to the Working Class Movement Library, which houses records covering over 200 years of campaigning for better working conditions for ordinary men and women. No visit to Salford is complete without a visit, although do phone ahead, as the staff are usually on strike. Opened in 1761, Bridgewater Canal is often described as England's very first canal, as it was the first to be built without following an existing waterway. Locals would stare in awe, thinking, why would anyone need a bath that long? The song Dirty Old Town was written as an affectionate description of Salford by local folk singer Ewan McCall. The song was later famously covered by Shane McGowan of The Pogues, affectionately known as Dirty Old Teeth. Legendary escapologist William Melford was born in Salford in 1805. A precocious talent, the midwife who attended his birth noted Melford's first words were, ta-da! Nikolai Bunyakov, better known as Coco the Clown, lived here as a child before going on to become one of the most successful and respected circus clowns in Europe. When Coco died in 1974, he left some very big shoes to fill. And the Lithuanian travelling fair performer Alexander Zass lived in Salford during the 1930s. Once promoted as the world's strongest man, Zass married his sideshow sweetheart, Two-Ton Ethel, the world's fattest lady. When they fell on hard times, Zass took a job as a scaffolder to support her. The nearby Northern Imperial War Museum commemorates the Manchester Blitz of World War II, when over 2,000 incendiary bombs were dropped in just 24 hours. The giant modernist structure, which stands on Trafford Wharf, has been described as impossible to miss. Well, that was certainly the opinion of the Luftwaffe. But the Luftwaffe are not alone in coming all this way and bombing. Let's make it Example, many visitors to Athens mix up souvlaki and stivado. Well, souvlaki is a popular fast food consisting of small pieces of meat or vegetable grilled on a skewer, whereas stivado is Greek Viagra. But the meanings of words are constantly changing, teams, so your suggestions please of any new definitions you may have spotted recently. John Finnemore, you can start.
Cabaret. Taxi rank.
Vicky Pepperdine.
Carpe diem. 24 hour parking.
John Carlshaw.
Algorithm. The dancing style of a former vice president.
Helpy Jones.
Somerset. Mixed results for Jelly Factory.
Orchid. Mancunian's child.
Okay,
Toys R Us for bells.
Barker Roll. Norman Stanley Fletcher. But it's interesting, isn't it? I think that's what we're going for, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Norwich, a Scottish person of limited wealth.
I borrow the voice of Giles Brandon for this one.
Quirk. Subatomic particle. I'll be there again. Quirk. Subatomic particle responsible for eccentricity.
Pioneer, messy eater.
Clarity, like a Bordeaux.
Sycophant, an elephant with a cold.
Cameroon, coconut biscuit in shape of former Prime Minister.
Hydrocortisone cream. What Hydra did after Hydro picked his own strawberries.
Okay, Samantha, we'll spin the discs now, and each of you will sing along to your records teams until Samantha turns the music down. If, on its return, you're within a gnat's crotchet of the original, I'll be awarding points. And points mean a frankly sickening display of egomaniacal self-congratulation. What do points mean?
Prizes!
This week's prize is one of the world's oldest frozen supper time treats. It is packets of Lieutenant Bird's Eyes fish fingers. John Finnemore, you're going to start these, and I'd like you to accompany Brian and Michael singing Matchstalk Men and Matchstalk Cats and Dogs.
it painted, Salford smoke it up, some cardboard boxes from the shop, and parts of Anglons where I used to play. And Fury would walk down our street, cause he painted kids who had knocked on their feet. The clothes we wore had all seen better days. And he meant in much dog men and much dog cats and dogs. He kids on the corner of the street with the sporting clothes. Now he takes his brush and he waits outside them factory gates to paint his matchstock men and matchstock cats.
I'd like you to accompany Gloria Gaynor singing I Will Survive. Teams are now going to play a round of charades. popular parlor game, participants are obliged to mime the title of a well-known book, show, or film. And many people make the mistake of thinking that mime doesn't work on the radio. And the truth is that it doesn't work on stage, screen, or television. One of the world's most famous mimes was Jack Lecoq, which, curiously enough, was the nickname I acquired among hotel staff. In our version of the game, entitled Sound Charades, team members are permitted the use of their mouths. John Finnemore and Vicky Pepperdine, you're to start, please, and your title will shortly be displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. For listeners at home, here's the mystery voice. So you're going to be guessing this one, John Culshaw and Hamilton Jones. And our audience may get a clap if they think that John and Vicky are getting warm as they go. So off you go, please. I'll do that again. And our audience may care to clap if they think that John and Milton are getting close when they're guessing. So off you go, please, John and Vicky.
Well, I will tell you this is a TV show. Mm-hmm. It's two words.
Morning, Philip.
Morning, Mother. I just want you to know you and Dad have effed me right up. Well, you didn't mean to, but you did.
Oh, that's nice, dear. Weetabix.
Disappointing Weetabix, but oblivion is inevitable. Every second brings me closer to the hour when I shall die.
Crunchy nut.
I see an old person in the street, I simply think to myself, why aren't they screaming?
Well, never mind, Philip. Try
and look
on the bright side.
There is no bright side. Only one side to human existence, and it's a side of black, unrelenting, and doom.
Well, it is nearly 1963.
So?
So, all we have to do is wait for the end of the Chatterley ban and the Beatles' first LP, and then we can all get laid.
Perfect.
I thought that was Marvin the Paranoid Android from his head.
Royal?
No.
Different Philip.
Okay.
This morning?
Okay. Just so you know, the audience are laughing at you now.
Is it Philip Green? Philip Larkin. Just to say it's a film with four words.
Excuse me. I wondered, is this seat taken?
And then sit yourself down.
Oh, you're too kind.
Oh, it's you!
Yes, yes, apparently, yes.
I'm such a huge fan of yours. I think you're wonderful.
I see we have something in common.
Oh, look, there's your brother, Matt.
Hey, are you all right? Do you mind if I join you on the floor? I've just been delivering a lamb.
Where to?
The abattoir.
Well, your parents must be very proud of you both. Which one's their favourite? You or Matt?
Oh, they think we're both wonderful.
Quite right.
They're not wrong, you know.
You're terrific. Sensational.
What's the word?
Any
But only last week, I got myself a new dog from the rescue centre. He used to belong to a homeless person and is working out really well. On a good day, I can make up to £20 an hour. It's well known that the people of Manchester love animals, and many Mancunians regularly visit nearby Chester Zoo. The zoo famously made headlines in 1994 following a visit by the Manchester United squad when, due to an unfortunate electrical malfunction, the door to the tiger enclosure opened in front of Captain Roy Keane. After a dreadful mauling, the keepers did eventually manage to pull the tiger to safety. So in Celebrity Animal Smugglers, John Culshaw and Milton Jones will be animal smugglers, and John Finnemore and Vicky Pepperdine will be customs officers whose job it is to discover the smuggled animals. However, John and Milton will be smuggling these animals skillfully concealed in their conversation with one another. So John and Vicky must not only identify the smuggled animals by name, but also, and to score points, challenge by making the noise of the animal in question. Understood? Good, okay. So are you ready, customs officers, John and Vicky?
Yes. I have a quick question, actually, John.
Yes, go on then.
Do we buzz? What?
Some of the audience said only if you're a bee. Security, can we have that? And then you give the noise, please. That's right, yeah.
Good.
Okay, are you ready, customs officers, John and Mickey? Then please, let's start the animal smuggling now, John and Milton.
Hello, Gwen.
Hi, Ina.
Vicky came in.
Hi, Ina.
Yes, well spotted, well spotted.
This is a nice hyena which the evil beast are not worried about.
Vicky?
Sorry.
Quack, quack in my salamander voice.
Try more often then. Yeah, back to you, Phil.
I'd like to be a millionaire, but I see the read it. I'd like to be a millionaire, but my CV is a mere catalogue of failures.
Officers, as you can see, I am simply wearing my lightweight raincoat,
my cool mat entirely free from hidden celebrities.
It's very pretty, isn't it? It's very sparkly, Mac.
Sean Carshaw.
Michael McIntyre, he was sword and tapped me in the syllables bowled together. And then he was talking and he was sword,
and so I have no doubt does Milton Jones.
Hoo-ha!
We missed one earlier, but we missed Lee Mack.
Sparkly Mack.
You missed a chance there,
John. Here's where it's sort of passed by now.
That's your Lee Mack.
Inserted poem has reverberated
without this auditorium, and a boiled sweet crashing into a rotted bowl.
Little metal monsters.
Yes, but they're totally safe, don't worry, they're all made of aluminium. No lead monsters.
John, the banker says he respects you. At this stage, he'd like to offer you 45 pence.
I'll sit in for a while.
Weird. deal or no deal?
Okay, and this is our little emergency kit that we always take on planes. We're prepared for anything, aren't we? So turbulence, high, jack, dinghy, compression.
Oh, I always have been John Carshaw with that. Changing their usual advertising strap lines. So teams, I'd like you please to provide examples of some of these famous new brand condoms together with the accompanying advertising slogans. Milton, you can start, please.
Polo condoms, mint with a hole.
Radio Times condoms, if it's on, is it? Thank you.
Oxford Circus, Oxford Road.
Mm-hmm.
Victory Lane.
Yes.
This is a bit of a beginner's question, but how do you begin?
Christmas cards, that's still £1 billion. Well, perhaps you can't Scotland's most greatly received are invitation cards, and in fact only last week the Prime Minister's wife Carrie Johnson was seen happily displaying one particularly welcome addition to the number 10 mantelpiece, Boris's vasectomy clinic referral. Okay, in this round the teams will attempt to complete the verses taken from some genuine greeting cards. So John Finnemore, you just start, please, and can you finish off this one? It's a card for a thank you for a gift card. Thank you for the gift and all your wishes too. To spend your hard-earned money.
It's clearly too hard for you.
Was very kind of you. Here's one for you, John Carl Schulz. Congratulations on getting a job card. Congratulations, you've got the job. I'm thrilled it went your way. Your job hunting days are over, you'll soon have your own pay. The years of study have now paid off, the future's looking bright.
And I can't wait to see you dancing around that pole tonight.
So good luck in the years ahead, it's all turned out just right. Milton, this is for you. Can you complete a bereavement card? When someone dies, the light goes out. Empty chair remains.
So, can I have the chair?
In actual reality, it was but their memory stays inside your head and then love your heart returns. And finally, Vicky, can you finish off this one? It's a birthday card. Because today's so special, it really wouldn't do to send one simple birthday wish to last the whole year through, so...
I won't.
So this wishes happy moments, a day when dreams come true, and a year that's filled with all the things that mean the most to you. But that comes with a fucking... John Finnemore, this is a third birthday card. Little boy Blue is blowing his horn. He knows it's your birthday morn. And what's the tune we can hear him play?
He's grabbed the horn, so who can say?
I guess happy returns on your third birthday. John Cotshaw, can you finish this one, please? It's an apology card. I'm sorry that I let you down and caused you so much pain. I promise that I will improve, not let you down again. My actions, they were selfish, full of stupidity and greed, but
I did get Brexit done.
Thank you very much. Your love and understanding is the one thing that I need. Please forgive me. One for you, Milton, here. A second birthday card. The Toy Town bus has stopped for you. There's one more seat inside.
But we won't be going far today because someone's glued themselves to a rope.
A 21st birthday card. You've been a source of love and pride since you were just a boy, and we would like to tell you
you're adopted.
And you bring us endless joy. John Finnemore, another one for you. It's a Christmas card. See the Christmas pudding with holly on the top, with raisins, figs, and brandy. I'll eat so much I'll pop. We made a wish as we mixed it up. Just like we always do.
So we won't be seeing you this year, assuming it comes true.
We love our Christmas pudding so much that we made two. John Cotshaw, how about this one? It's a bereavement card for you to finish off this one. Don't break your heart for me. I'm really not far away. And although you cannot see me, I am behind you. With you every day.
Come celebrate your 30th. Whoop it up and do the conga.
You'll never walk alone, my friend, because that's how the conga works.
You can party all night long, though not for too much longer. Vicky, this is another 30th birthday card. Calm down, no need to panic. Being 30 is not too bad. It's not as if you're ancient, so it shouldn't drive you mad. In many ways, you're actually considered in your prime, so...
Why shouldn't you date a 15-year-old?
If you want to live it up, well, now's a damn good time. John Finnemore, how about this one? It's your first birthday card. From the moment you get up till you go nighty-night,
to the moment you wake up again, 14 minutes later.
I hope your first birthday is an absolute delight. John, John, I'm sure. This one's a marriage card. Marriage is a special bond where two lives join as one.
The car keys placed in fruit bowls, something different's going on.
Milton, write this one, another Christmas card. These wishes aren't original, but still they're most sincere.
Blah, 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 etc.
Have a really Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year. Finally, Vicky, can you do this one for me? Can you finish this one for me? It's an engagement card. A beautiful ring, shiny and new.
It's great to see the enhancement your fiancé is prepared to do.
But actually, and a life filled with love for both of you. Well, here's something any year I'll go at, right? So, this one's an apology card. I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to say the things I said. I don't know what was going through my silly, thoughtless head.
You're a perfectly adequate chairman, Jack, and I don't wish you were there.
I hope you can forgive me. You mean the world to me, because you really are the greatest friend that anyone could be.
I think I'll stick with my version.
How about this one? It's a good luck at university card. So you're off to university, and a new adventure starts.
Pack plenty of condoms and COVID tests, and some matches to light up your farms.
It says in 3 years' time, we'll welcome home a Bachelor of Arts. What about this one? Thank you for a wedding gift. This is a thank you for a wedding gift card. Is that when the newsreader reads the bit at the end that's a nice story and they get it slightly wrong again? And finally, a baby panda has been stranded. Thank you for a wedding gift card. Thank you for your wedding gift. It was so kind of you.
Identical to that set of pants last year we bought for you.
That's what we wanted, how clever that you knew. This one's a Christmas card. Christmas comes but once a year, a time of joy and laughter.
Last year we had venison. Santa couldn't get home after.
I love you for your thoughtfulness, your understanding way, and for all the countless little things you do for me each and every day. I love you for all the hopes and dreams you help to make come true, but...
I've read things wrong with this dating app. Sorry, who are you?
Most of all, I love you, just for being you. And what about this one? So missing you from church card.
Thank you.
I get them every week. Here we go. We want to let you know that we've not seen you for a while. We've noticed that you've not been here. We've missed your friendly smile. We think of you so very much. You're in our Sunday prayer.
You are the sobbing vicar, so you really should be there.
We hope that you'll come back into the fellowship we share. Well, this is congratulations on losing weight, Carl. No, Manchester, these do exist. Those excess pounds are gone. You have lost so much weight.
Those excess pounds are gone. You've lost so much weight, you haven't.
We're so proud you managed it, and bet you're feeling great. This is a divorce card. Now that you have parted, it's time to have some fun. So,
why not join a swingers club and try it out the bar?
Insisted the packaging of all new kazoos should feature a government health warning. Caution, kazoo playing may result in a punch in the face. To provide piano accompaniment, we have Colin Sell. Hey. So to report that I received a complaint. A regular listener has written in to say, can you please come up with a better introduction for your pianist? Well, yes, I can. Ladies and gentlemen, at the piano, please welcome Jules Holland. So, John and Mickey, you can start, and I'd like you to provide us with a rendition of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, featuring John Finnemore on the kazoo and Mickey Pepperdine on the Swanee whistle.
Aww.
It's just time to pitch in a quick round, likely to appeal to foodies. Amateur chef Samantha was just off to visit the kitchen of a gentleman friend who's confessed to being something of a novice. And this week, she's eager to teach him the art of sauteing. He's told him the secret is to grab your panhandle and lightly toss it to a nut's turn. Round is called Vegan Filmism, and in it teams I'd likely to suggest titles of films likely to prove popular with vegetarians and vegans. You can start with John Culshaw.
What of porridge?
Milton.
Sleepless in falafel.
John Pinnamon.
Herbivore goes bananas.
There won't be blood.
There will be blood orange.
An officer and a lentil man.
Born of the dead.
My beautiful courgette.
The samphire strikes back.
The man in the iron deficient mask.
The postman always brings rice.
50 Shades of Grey.
The Texas Coleslaw Massacre.
The loneliness of the long distance. Now I haven't really got the energy.
Obviously nothing with Kevin Bacon or John Hamm.
Despicable neat.
Not to kill a mockingbird.
No poultry for old men.
Kung Tofu Panda.
The Quorn Identity.
The King's Peach.
Peach or vegan?
Barbara Streisand in lentil.
The lamb shank rejection.
Nine and a half leaks.
Godfather, Ange 2.
In the name of Alfalfa.
Kill Bill.
On the watercress.
What's your problem, the film? Here's what I'm eating.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the trusty trawler of time is impounded by the fickle Frenchman of fate, the outstretched orchards of austerity remain untrammeled by the Polish fruit pickers of posterity. And this is the end of the show. So, the team Samantha, myself, and our audience here in Salford, it's goodbye. Goodbye! Stumbles in those. Have you got those? Vicky, did you start and do yours?
Yeah. At 8 p.m. on BBC2, it's over to Holby City's Diagnostics Department for the next gripping episode of Causality.
And now on BBC2, a heartwarming documentary in which every single worker at the old plant's factory is reunited and taken on a special coach trip to revisit it. That flats. A load of old cobblers here on the exit.
And now on CBBC, playing with scissors gets completely out of hand in Autopsy and Tim.
Jack, I had three things for you. There's just an alternative intros. One for the Uxbridge English Dictionary.
Okay.
Conquer, acquiesce and conquer.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, thanks for giving us lunch. We start this week with some new additions to the Uxbridge English Dictionary. A good dictionary is essential for learning the correct use of similar words. For example, many people don't understand the subtle difference in meaning between acquiesce and concur. Well, acquiesce means to agree to something, often unwillingly. Well, acquiesce means to agree to something, often unwillingly, whereas concur is a French chestnut.
Alternative anointing present
is an alternative. It's time now to play the game called the Mornington Crescent.
Hooray!
I notice our postman's sack bulging with a letter. It comes from Mrs. Trellis of North Wales.
Hooray!
She writes, "Dear Richard Osman, congratulations on writing your best-selling novels. I often wondered what you were doing on that laptop during the dullness."
And finally, charades in trouble.
Yes. Okay, the teams are now going to play a round of charades, the popular parlor game, where participants are obliged to mime the title of a well-known book, show, or film. Mime is one of the hardest art forms to master, and the obstacles to make it. Mime is one of the hardest art forms to master, and the obstacles to making it today as a professional mime artist are considerable. Many aspiring mimes spend years training, only to find they still can't break through the glass wall. The essence of mime is giving the impression you're partaking in an activity, but without making any sound whatsoever. Coincidentally, last week we set up a Just Giving page to send our very own Colin Sell online workshop. So far we've raised £750,000. Our version of the game entitled Sound Charades, team members are permitted the use of their mouths.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is that. Thank you so much. I'm sorry it's lasted a little bit longer with COVID checks and what have you. It only remains for me to tell you that the first programme will be broadcast on Monday the 13th of December, ladies and gentlemen. Monday the 13th of December. So do tune in, listen to yourselves laughing along, often in places you didn't remember.
Okay.